Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
We are live, we are live, we are live, people. And welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 39. And I am your host, Funk Roberts. I'm a former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer, Amazon best-selling co-author. I'm a certified MMA strength conditioning coach and a transformation specialist specifically for men over the age of 40. And you are listening to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast, where we talk about everything in regards to health and fitness for men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. You know, my four pillars are mindset, recovery, nutrition, workouts, and of course, everything to do with helping men naturally boost testosterone. Because when you naturally boost your testosterone levels, guess what, guys? You burn fat, you lose weight, you build muscle, your sex life goes through the roof, you have more energy, your mood is better. You know, your life's better, your mojo's back. So that's what we do here. And today I'm excited because we've got a special guest on the podcast, someone who I've been following for quite a while. And if you don't know him, his name is Kevin Fit Men Cook Curry. Kevin Curry, who is better known as Fit Men Cook. If you go right now to Instagram, I want you to go on Instagram right now. If you're on Instagram, go to Instagram. Or just if you're not on Instagram, go to fitmencook.com. Or if you're on Instagram, go to fitmencook. And you can see why I wanted to get him on, because Kevin is an amazing, he's a man who can cook, baby. He's not even a chef. And you're going to learn about more about Kevin. But the reason why I wanted to have him on, because he shows that anyone can meal prep, anyone can cook, anyone can eat healthy. You just have to do it. And you can see he's got over 1.4 million followers. He's huge, man. He's been on Oprah. The guy's massive. So I'm really excited to have him on the podcast today. So definitely want to tune in. Definitely want to listen up to Kevin and get, you know, he goes through a lot of amazing tips and tricks. And his story alone is incredible. So please listen up. But before we get there, I want you guys to remember that this is our contest month. And this month, we're going nootropic, baby. I'm giving away three of my nootropic, my supplement called Mind Muscle. This is an amazing supplement, boosts your memory, improves clarity, increases your energy, and of course, focus. I use this before I just jumped on the podcast, before I do any podcast, before I create programs. The reason why I can create so many programs, the reason why I have so much energy is the Mind Muscle. It keeps me, my clarity. I'm 51 years old, man. I know my memory sometimes goes to waste, but it doesn't, because I've got, you know, my Mind Muscle put a lot of amazing ingredients into this. We destroyed this in regards to like making sure that it's like top of the line, top quality nootropic. So I'm giving away three bottles of Mind Muscle to three lucky people. So each person's going to get one bottle. All you need to do is go to over40shred.com/contest. Now, there's two things you need to do. Number one, you need to put your email in the box so I know where to send, like who to contact if you do win. But the second and most important thing is I need you to leave a review on our podcast, a good 5-star review. Leave a comment, leave a review. It helps the podcast. It helps me. It helps us get guests like Kevin Curry from Fit Men Cook, who has over 1.4 million followers and subscribers, and you know, is a big name in the fitness industry. Even if you've never heard of him before, you will hear of him now. But so leave that. And it doesn't have to be on this podcast episode. It could be any podcast episode. But once you leave a review, then at the end of March, March 31st, we're going to choose. And just like the past months, three people are going to win. It's going to be amazing. So go to over40shred.com/contest and get that done. Second thing, of course, is listen, this podcast And my whole being is to help men over 40, 50, 60 naturally boost testosterone. That's what it is. Once we boost our testosterone levels, our lives are way better. You know, you can live till you're 90 and still be slanging weights in the gym and still be banging your wife and all those great things that happen when you're, you know, when you have high testosterone. No, testosterone's not about being huge and bulky. It's everything. That's only 2% of what testosterone can do for us. The rest is about us being a man, us getting our mojo back, health, fitness, everything else. So, but in order for you to know what you need to do about naturally increasing your testosterone, you got to know where you are. So I'm so happy that I've partnered with Let's Get Checked, the home testosterone testing kit. It's super easy. Go to over40shred.com/test kit, T-E-S-T-K-I-T. And once you go there, you're going to fill out the information and then you're going to grab this. You're going to use FUNK20 because that's going to give you 20% off. So I'm already, it's already discounted for you, and then you're going to get another discount, and then you're going to order it online. It's going to come to you in 2 to 5 days. I live in Canada. This came to me in 2 days. You're going to get a kit. I know that if you're listening, you can't see the kit, but if you're watching, you can. The kit comes with everything you need. It's got a vial where you're going to put your blood in it. Yes, you're going to use blood because that's the best way, one of the best ways to get your testosterone levels checked. Then you're going to do it in the morning. You're going to prick your finger. They're going to give you a prick to prick it. Doesn't hurt. You're going to put the blood in the vial, and then you're going to package it up with their pre-packaged postage stamped envelope. Then you're going to take it to UPS, and I'm having problems here if you're looking at this. You're going to take it to UPS, and then you're going to ship it off. And then guess what happens? 3 to 5 days later, you're going to get an email sent to you saying, "Hey, brother, we've got your results. And let's go through them. And if your results are low, then a nurse is going to call you. But if not, you can just go online, see your results, and then know where you're at. And then after that, you're going to go to over40alpha.com. You're going to join my Over 40 Brotherhood fitness program, which is geared towards helping men naturally boost their testosterone through workouts, nutrition, mindset, recovery, sleep, everything you need that's going to help. But you need to know where you're at. So go to over40shred.com/test kit. Guys, you can do this in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to go to the doctor. No one has to know. No one ever has to know. If you have low testosterone, no one has to know. You don't have to tell your wife. You don't have to tell anybody, but you could tell me, because I'm here to help you and support you and ensure that you get your testosterone levels high without going on TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, without any of that crap. You're going to do this naturally. You're going to do this. I help thousands and thousands of men over the age of 40, 50, 60, no matter where they are within their lives, boost their testosterone, get in the best shape of their lives. And I want to help you, but I can't help you. And you can't help you until you know where you're at first. So go to over40shred.com/test kit. Fill out the information, grab it, use FUNK20 because you're going to get 20% off FUNK20 because that's how we do. And then also, if you're looking for a program, you're listening to this program right now, this podcast episode, and you're like, "Funk, I want to join your program. How do I join your program? I want to join it." Well, I'm going to hook you up with a 30-day free trial at over40alpha.com, over40alpha.com. It's the best only program out there. It's 1 year to alpha, 1 year workouts, nutrition, support, weekly coaching, fitness app. You get everything, man. It's insane. Anyways, that's it. Let's get to this podcast episode, episode 39 with Kevin Fitman Cook Curry. Thank you so much for being here. I love you, and enjoy the podcast. We are live. We are live. We are live, people. And welcome to the Over 40 Alpha podcast. And this episode, I'm super, super excited. Listen, you know, if you're a man or woman, if you're 40, 50, or 60, you can cook. You don't have to be a chef. You don't have to take lessons. You can cook. You can just do you and cook. And today I'm so excited because we have huge, huge star in the online and written books and you know, I consider you a celebrity. It's my man Kevin Fitman Cook Curry. How you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? How are you?
Very good. Yeah, it's great to, I've been in the industry, fitness industry, for, you know, over 10 years. And, you know, for me, you see a lot of, you know, fitness experts and, you know, nutritionists and that sort of thing. And then a couple of years ago, someone, I don't know how I got onto you, whether you came up into my feeds, but I saw you on Instagram and I just started to, you know, look at all the food posts you posted. And I was like, man, I love this. And then the second thing was you were black and I'm black and you're black. So that was like, for me, that was huge because, you know, there's not a lot of black fitness people out there, you know, that are, you know, that anyone, you know, being black or what have you can follow. So in the nutrition, you know, in this nutrition space as well. So that was huge. And then the fact that you went to Thailand too, actually was amazing. So, yeah, man, thanks so much for being here. And how did this all start? What was your journey to becoming Fit Men Cook?
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It wasn't largely accidental, but kind of on purpose as well, I feel like, in a sense. So it was accidental because I wasn't trying to start up a community. I was just trying to save my diet, get some free advice. And so the idea was, if you, I'm not sure if you read the book or you may mentioned that, but in the first part of the book, I kind of talk about the evolution of Fit Men Cook, and how I got started with, basically it was me, trying to crowdsource my diet. I was at a point where I didn't have a lot of money and I was tired of spending money on personal trainers. I really didn't have that money to keep spending and not being successful with them. And so I just realized that I needed to take my health into my own hands. And that was just me walking into this little half-price bookstore and purchasing everything they had there about nutrition and just reading the content, kind of, you know, like familiarizing, you know, myself with it. And I was pretty indignant in this idea and that, like, I was tired of this weight cycling, battling, you know, between periods of being skinny and fat. And, cause there was no like weightlifting that, you know, at all at this point. And I just thought that it didn't make sense that God will put us on this earth with all these different cuisines and foods and say that you can't eat them. It just didn't make sense to me, just fundamentally. So that was part of the reason why I started up the blog. So the blog idea was like, let me post every single thing that I'm eating. Let me show all the steps, the recipes, the macros. So that way people out there who know about diet can maybe share back with me and say, hey, you should try this, more of that, do less of this, Kev. And I was making it look good because I wanted to get good feedback. If you put something out there that just didn't look good, people are going to be like, oh, that looks crazy. And you become an internet meme. And then all of a sudden I'm still stuck again in my diet. So I really wanted to get some good feedback. And I saw the reverse that kind of happened. People out there just like me who are tired of these bland cookie cutter foods, the people that they cannot just eat for fuel and not for taste. And people just began to follow me and I just began to continue to share my own journey and transformation through food.
Wow. That's amazing. So do you have any background in, like, are you a chef or, you know, do you have any cooking background or did you just start cooking stuff and just start posting and maybe experimenting?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. You know, that I always say that desperation and being broke really brings out people's creativity.
Yeah.
You know, you can probably ask some mamas out there who grew up on nothing, but they can probably make like a 5-course meal or like a 5-star meal out of some spam. They know how to make it work. They know how to make them ramen noodles stretch and just be amazing, right?
That's my mother right there, man.
Exactly. So it's the same thing here that when you're really passionate about something, and my passion was I wanted to feel better, I want to look better for me, and then your creativity kind of kicks in. So I was just putting things together, I was experimenting, seeing what worked, and I kind of just taught myself how to cook.
Wow. So what is your background like? What did you I know you're a Harvard grad, so when did this all start? How old were you when this all started, and what led you here?
This was like 4 years after grad school when I really kind of got started with Fit Men Cook. I graduated in 2008 and it was at the time, you know, the big stock market crash. And so I found myself in a really low place. I lost my job. I had to lost the relationship that I was in. You know, I thought I was going to be married at this point, you know, that didn't work out with her. And so I went back to Dallas and I found myself back in my old room where I grew up in my parents' house, not feeling that great about life, not feeling that great about me. And so I do what a lot of people do, that they'll turn to other vices to therapize. And I was using alcohol and food to go and do that.
Yeah, I can relate. You know, when I was 39 going to 40, you know, I had the struggle. I was online. I was a professional athlete, but once I reached 40, I didn't realize that for us in our 40s, 50s, 60s, testosterone and hormones have a huge thing to do about it. So here I am banging at the gym, doing like 6 days a week. I'm eating what I thought was healthy. But because my testosterone was low, I didn't have the sex drive. My girlfriend left me literally because I couldn't, you know, satisfy her. So that just started everything tumbling down. I was overweight, still hitting the gym, but not getting results. And it wasn't until I, you know, went to the doctor. Doctor said, you got low testosterone. And, you know, he wanted to put me on TRT, testosterone replacement therapy. And I really realized, like, listen, I'm desperate here. I don't want to go on TRT. So I got to figure out what's going on with my body. So I can relate to how, you know, okay, let's figure out what's going on, you know, research, you know, trial and error, and finally realized, you know, what was wrong.
Yeah. All those things. It's not just one thing. You know, I tell people, like, of course, like my journey started out in food. And I do believe it's about 70% food and 30% like physical activity. You can increase that a little bit more if you have really like aggressive goals, but really when you have to look at the holistic approach to feeling better. So I was eating better, I was working out, and then I was also much more in tune with my feelings. And I was going through counseling, and I was like, oh, okay. I didn't really realize that. I didn't know how to articulate that. And one of the big aha things that you come out of with counseling is that you realize that you're not alone, that you're not weird, that your situation is not so unique, that it's very common to feel certain ways, and it's okay. And that just gave me a lot more confidence too in me that maybe I'm not broken. I'm not broken at all, rather. No,
not at all. So you use food to help you, I guess, you know, help you get out of depression, or at least help, you know, move into the right direction?
Yeah, I use food to go and do all those things. I was depressed. Now, just a quick caveat in that, like, I have struggled with clinical depression like my entire life. But the thing with mine is based off what my therapist was saying, and my is that I've had it since I was like a young kid. But depending on certain circumstances in your life, it can remain very dormant. So what happened was from high school, once I left high school and being in that type of environment, went off to college, and I was just exposed to all these different people from all these different backgrounds. And I was super involved in college. I mean, like, I was like really, really involved in every single organization out there. I was traveling, I was living abroad, and I just felt great about life, and I felt like I could do anything. And then it wasn't until, you know, after college, you start running into, you know, you start to work. I did some consulting, and then I went to grad school, and it was the episodes in grad school. It was not only the breakup, not only the stock market crash, I mean, losing my job, but also I was up there in Boston. And one thing that they told us on the first day of school was be aware of SAD, seasonal affective disorder. Something, there's another D in there, but anyway, and I didn't quite fully understand that, and that was the start of my deep depression, because it would be dark at 4 and 5 p.m. and then people would just go to the pub, and I'm like, okay, well, I go, I'm not a drinker, but then I went, and then you kind of learn those things that you know, to medicate, and I didn't realize that I was medicating my own depression.
Right.
So I use food. I say all that because my depression was very, very, very heavy at that point. So I use cooking to get me back on track. I did a TED talk about a year ago about this topic, and my second book that's coming out is about the relationship we have with food, particularly from like a depression anxiety standpoint, and how you can cook your way into a happier self. So the premise is, and the idea here is, you can go and cook a meal, right? Cooking is very therapeutic, and that was helping me out. It was just because I was like, all right, I'm getting all this bottled up energy out in a different way. I'm not slinging a whole bunch of weights right now. I'm in the kitchen. And if you struggle with like depression before, you know how hard it is to get motivated. So when you do a recipe and you do something from start to finish, the satisfaction that, you get being like, wow, I just did this. I was feeling good about myself. I was feeling accomplished. Like, this is the best thing that I did all day long. And I'm proud of myself. That, with the compounded effect that I'm cooking healthier foods, I was feeding my body things that are going to make me feel better. All those things helped me to lift myself out of depression and didn't even realize it.
Yeah, and not only depression, but you're getting healthier. Your hormones are starting to balance, you know, like you're feeling good, like you said. I mean, you know, just, I'm not a big cook, but, you know, whenever I cook something, whenever, doesn't matter what it is, whenever I go through the process of cooking something and then see it on that plate, it's just like, it just tastes better, you know, like you enjoy it more, it tastes better. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And the guys, you know, who are older, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, who may never have cooked before or may never have, you know, maybe their wives or, you know, maybe they traveled a lot, so they ate out a lot. You know, this is something that I'm happy that you're here, because this is something that, you know, they can start to do. You know what I mean? Like, this is something that you don't have to be afraid of, right? You can just start cooking. And what were the, so for someone who's never cooked before or isn't a big cooker, what are some of the steps that you would take them to, like, just to get started, just to, you know?
Oh, just find one recipe that you think that you want to cook and just make it. There's, you know, people, I feel like, whether we're talking about cooking or getting started with fitness, we're always looking for that sign about, this is the moment to get started. We're always looking for, like, that deep voice from this clouds that opens up and parts, and it's a sunbeam right on you that says, this is your moment, go do it. That's not going to happen. So you just have to start, and you just start by, you know what, I think I'm going to make this. You could even go, and I'm not trying to plug myself, but I've seen this before. People will just be on the page and be like, I think I'm going to make this tonight. Mm-hmm. And just like that, like, you're able to go ahead and get started. I do tell people too, like, if you're trying just to get started with cooking, then just find one recipe. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to overhaul your diet or trying to change your lifestyle, that's a great goal, and I want you to do that, but don't change everything overnight. Right. I want you to just look at one thing. You can look at one habit, one meal, one thing that you want to change, and do that well for about 2 to 3 weeks, and then graduate into something else.
So it would be like, you're just making your dinners, or you're making your lunches, or you're making your bread, or maybe you're making the same sort of thing all the time and putting a little twist to it.
Right. Yep. That's what I did. You know, my journey started out at, because I was prepping my lunch every day. Mm. I did that one from, like, a budget standpoint. I was realizing that I was spending $75 a plus just on my lunch alone each week, but eating out with coworkers and stuff, I couldn't afford that. But plus, I wasn't feeling better. So I said, why don't you start to take your lunch, and then you reserve Fridays to go out to eat with your coworkers, but you still have to eat something healthy. Mm. And I did that for 2 to 3 weeks. And I remember, I was like, oh, this wasn't so bad. I actually was feeling good, had some extra money in my pocket, so go ahead and prep my breakfast, you know, and that wasn't so hard. And then that graduated into me prepping my post-workout meal, so that way I would stop going to, like, Chipotle after lifting weights. I could save that money. And then literally in just about 3 to 4 months, I kind of woke up one day without these cravings for, like, the heavy fast food and stuff. Mm. And I realized that I had changed my entire diet. Yeah. just by doing it incrementally.
Yeah. And I think that's a strong point, because when people think about, oh, you know, I made this change, or I started to cook, you know, these meals, they want it to happen right away. But, mm-hmm. you know, you just said 3 to 4 months, which, you know, you have to understand these things take a lot of time in order for you to start to feel better. Or you may start to feel better right away, but, you know, not having those cravings, or not, you know, realizing that, hey, I feel great cooking.
Right. Well, and, you know, that's a great point. You know, I think that we're in this, the business of health is the part that's actually killing our health. Mm-hmm. And the business of health says that you can be healthy in 1 week and have 6-pack abs in 2 weeks. And it creates unrealistic expectations and gets us a lot more disappointed, and creates people and it makes us a lot more disenchanted when we don't get those results, that we go back into that cycle, but even deeper than before. Mm-hmm. Now, remember I said that in 3 to 4 months, I realized that I had changed my entire diet. I had already been feeling better before then.
Right.
You're going to feel better right away.
For sure.
I didn't realize. I'm like, I haven't gone to Whataburger this week at all. I haven't even thought about Whataburger. And that's crazy because I love me some Whataburger. I want to go my Texas Toast burger, everything. But then I just woke up and I was like, I haven't even been there in 2 weeks, y'all. Wow, that's crazy. So I say that because 3 to 4 months sounds like really far out. I don't want you to look at it like that. Mm. You're going to feel better immediately. Even if you check today and eat something that's healthy, you're going to feel better immediately after that meal. You're not going to maybe realize it until later on that like, oh my God, I've been coasting. Like now my entire diet is a healthy diet.
Right.
Didn't even realize it.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're cooking foods, you started off with, what was the first, do you remember the first meal that you started cooking?
Yeah. The first meal that I remember that I was really proud of to try to make was a quesadilla. And I say that because I live here in Texas. And so Mexican food is just a big part of our, diet.
Yeah.
And I would have it about 3 to 4 times a week. I'd go up there to my little taco stand, get my little 3 tacos, a little side salad with some refried beans, and a drink. And it was all $5. Some wonders, amazing here in Texas. Right. And I realized that I need to stop doing that because it was just a lot of fatty foods. And I would get the quesadilla there too. So I said, Kev, maybe you can make a quesadilla and make it healthier. Mm. That was the first dish that I took. And this is what I tell people to do when they're trying to approach healthy or calorie conscious cooking, right. Healthier cooking, is that take foods that you really like, list out every single ingredient. And then I want you to look at those ingredients in their base form. And I want you to find a healthier substitute for each one of them. Oftentimes we'll find out that the vegetables are already there. It's just that they've just been deep fried and battered in butter and oil and everything else. And so we cook out all the nutrients. We're loading it up with a bunch of cheese. And so those are the things that I was swapping out. And all of a sudden I had cut the calories almost more than half just by making out a few swaps, like with the cheese and everything else. And I felt better. I wasn't bloated. I was satisfied after the meal. And I could go on about my day. So that's how I would approach it. Take foods that you really like and deconstruct them.
And then, so how did that evolve? Like, so it started with the quesadillas. Did you just start, picking and choosing foods that you liked and just start experimenting, or were you using recipes, or were you making your own recipes?
Yeah, I was making my own recipes, and taking those and just like, flipping them. And then you'd look up like decadent recipes online or so. I think another one that I was really proud of, I think I posted this one like a long time ago. I'll have to go and check, but it was a dirty rice. I love me some dirty rice. My auntie makes some like the best dirty rice. And I was thinking like, it's really good. But I always feel pretty lethargic and heavy and bloated afterwards. Mm. So I looked up the ingredients for it and I started to cook it. And then I said, what would be cool, Kevin, next time if you could use quinoa, because you got all this quinoa that everyone told you to buy. You hate it. It'll make it taste better. You could put some quinoa. And that's how I got started making, and I made this quinoa dirty quinoa dish. And I was so proud of myself because I'm like, it's not even bad. It tastes pretty good, So doing things like that over and over again is just what kind of led to the evolution that, of what is now the Fitman Cook.
Yeah, and then you make it easy for everybody because you've done all the hard work with cooking delicious, healthy meals with the Fitman Cook. I've read the beginning and I'm starting to sift through a lot of these meals, and they look so delicious, and they're pretty easy to make. It's not like you don't have to be a chef in order to make these, right? Is that what the goal was?
Absolutely. That was the premise of the book, is just that you don't have to be a trained chef in order to do it, because I'm not a trained chef. I'm just a person who's just passionate about feeling better. And I want people to experience that same type of happiness.
Right. Which to me is amazing, because this shows that like any guy doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to be that chef. Like, look at this book. This book is like a million, like hundreds of recipes, over 100 recipes. Amazing recipes. You go to Fitman Cooks, Kevin's Instagram page, you'll see all the delicious foods that he posts. And this is like, he's not a chef. Like, this is someone who just, like you said, deconstruct recipes, but you know, just have healthy alternatives and then make it your own, right? Like,
absolutely, make it your own. And I tell people that the best diet that they can ever follow is one that they can maintain and one that they actually enjoy. So I know, especially in this day and age, everyone's going and doing these trend diets, and the hottest diet out right now, everyone knows, it's the low carb keto diet. And I've tried keto before too. And there's nothing wrong with jumping around and trying different diets. In fact, I recommend it so that way you can become a lot more competent in how food makes you feel and what could work for you. The whole point of those, I say, the experimentation, doing things like that, is so you could say, hey, you know what? I noticed that when I was on this diet, this didn't happen to me. So how can I take that key learning and loop that into my regular everyday diet?
Yeah.
I think that we've got to get out of the mentality that we're eating for something and we're eating for a lifetime. Meaning, people start to think about the diet whenever they want to look good or feel good for something, for like, if it's a photo shoot or a wedding or a party or a beach trip, and that's when they think about their diet, and after that it's out the window. When you get into the mind frame is that you're eating for like a lifetime, it's a different approach to food, and you don't feel as rushed, and everything that you're doing is not as intense on your body. Because you know, it's the same thing that you look at when people say, I'm too old for them heavy weights and be doing that stuff, you know, squatting 500 pounds. All right, you know, that may be so. That's true. You're also too old to be doing all these crash diets every 2 months. Mm-hmm. And the change in your hormones and what you're doing to your body in that regard, that's also not healthy.
Yeah.
So you just, at some point, I don't care who you are, ex-athlete, I've seen this, I've seen this a lot with ex-athletes, meaning like bodybuilders and fitness professionals. Some of them just don't know how to eat for like a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it with them as well. At some point, everybody, regardless of who you are, has to come to terms with, I'm going to be on this earth for a minute and I've got to find out how to eat. So you can start to reach for the crash diets, you know, if you want to, but you're going to be back at square one.
And even worse, probably, from that. So, you know, one of the things that I tell these guys, my over 40 group, is meal prep, you know, and the importance of meal prepping. Because, you know, these guys come in and, you know, the nutrition plan that I have them on is again, it's a hormone-based, very easy for them to follow. They just choose their carbs, fats, proteins, vegetables that they want to do that week. So I make it even easier. Like, don't go crazy and try to change everything. Wow. But meal prep's key, because that's, you know, everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, and then 2 weeks down the line, they're, oh, I got caught up at work and I had nothing to eat, or, you know, I was on the run and, you know, I didn't get a chance to eat healthy, or I got home late and I didn't have anything. I tell them meal prep's key. You know, that's one of our rituals, actually. It's like every Saturday we meal prep and we listen to a podcast, we listen to something that makes us feel good. Right. What are your, I saw in the book you had the 10 commandments, but give us some of those, you know, some of those commandments in regards to meal prep and why it's so important.
I think, you know, first off, just meal prep is important just because, like, the more prepared you are, the more success you are statistically going to have. Because whenever you're hungry and whatnot, you want to be able to have healthy food available in like arm's reach. Mm-hmm. And when you don't, that's when you're susceptible to start making some decisions that'll push you further away from your wellness goals. So one of the ones that I really love is thou shall multitask. And I say that because one of the big complaints people have is like, I don't have time to meal prep. And, you know, and I get that. You're not going to have time for anything. So you do have to make time. But whenever you're trying to meal prep, usually people are trying to make multiple things at one point because they're trying to prep for the entire week or whatnot. First off, What I mean by like multitasking is that you don't really approach meal prep in the same way that you would like a traditional recipe. In that people will go into the kitchen and say, all right, I got three things to make. I'm going to start out with this recipe and make this one. And I'm going to go on to make this one. And I'm going to go and make this one. And all of a sudden they're in the kitchen for 4 or 5 hours. I don't have time for this. Correct. You don't. So what you have to learn how to do whenever you're meal prepping is doing multiple things. So you'll start out with the ingredients that you're going to take the longest to cook, maybe your starchy vegetables or your rice or something like that. You put that on, and then you're prepping your, you know, you're cutting up your veggies after that, or like you're prepping and like your protein. Well, you know, when that's finished, you're doing something else. And when you're not doing, when you're not cooking, you're cleaning up. So everything is like this. So imagine being in the kitchen to liken that to a HIIT routine in the gym. You're going to move from station to station to station to station. You get a quick rest and you're going to keep going. But everything that you're doing there is serving a purpose, and you have 2 hours to do this in. Mm-hmm. That's your mark. That or you know, or like 1 hour. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly moving and multitasking. And I think that's when people finally get that like aha moment, then meal prep actually becomes much more enjoyable. It becomes doable. And it almost too becomes a game. You begin to be like, I can get this done faster this time.
Totally. I love that. Yeah, that's exactly what I got them doing. You know, you put your chicken and you know, in the oven, you cook your, you know, maybe you put your sliced sweet potato in the oven at the same time. You're cooking your rice, you're chopping up your vegetables. It's incredible. What other commandments do you have?
Another one that I'll talk about is the aspirational buying. Just be wary of that. And that means like when you walk into the grocery store, you probably see the produce section. And this is especially true at the top of the year when you're like, this is it. This is my year. Super Bowl is over. I'm going to be new year, new me. I'm going to get these weight off my back. I mean, nothing come March. So you do all this stuff and you look at the grocery store and you see all these foods and you start to load up your grocery cart and everyone's looking at you in the grocery store like, man, this guy eats really healthy, you know, and just, man, he's killing it. And you know darn well by Friday, you shop on Sunday, by Friday, it looks like a science project in your fridge. That's right. And that's because you're doing aspirational buys. It's like, I'm going. My mom did this. I'm going. Say, stop saying I'm going. You ain't going to do a damn thing but talk. That's what she does, right? That's what my grandma used to say when they would be, I'm going to go and do it.
Yeah.
And that's what we do to ourselves. I'm going to cook this up. Don't do that. Stop doing that. First off, start out with just one recipe, one healthy recipe that you want to make and just shop that one and do that. Now, additional challenge that I would do each week for myself, because I really enjoyed it, was I would look up one food that I just didn't know about. And I would start with that. And I would just research like a recipe with that one food, and I would cook it and see like what I liked about it. I remember like my first one was arugula, and that was because I think it was around the time with Barack Obama presidency, and they were going to have like the State of the Union dinner or some dinner, and they said arugula, and everyone's like, the internet was like, who eats arugula? Oh my God, what is that? And I'm like, yeah, actually, how potential is that? But I kind of want to know what it is, so let me just go to the store and find out. So. Right. Each week, I would just get one ingredient that I had no idea what it was, research it, and cook with it. And the cool thing about that is, one thing, you know what you like, and you know what you're not going to like right away. And those key learnings will help you to have a varied diet over the long haul.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. I mean, you keep saying learnings, and that's huge because that's what we're doing. We're learning about the foods we like, learning about different foods. And we're making a lifestyle. Like I said, diets, people don't realize, like people don't even know what they're doing. They see the diet, they're following it. They don't even focus on the foods in regards to like why those foods are, why they're eating those foods, what it's doing to their body. They're just following the diet. They're just following it.
Right.
Did I get results? Did I get results? No. Okay. Keep following it. And all of a sudden I didn't get results. Shit. But they didn't learn anything from what they were following. When you make it a lifestyle, it's something that you can enjoy. It's something that you can look forward to. It's something that, you know, is sustainable, that you can eat all the time, but you're always being you, and B, you're always, you know, adding things and changing things and removing things and just making it yours, still being healthy, but experimenting, right? Not being afraid to experiment. The longer you have this lifestyle, healthy lifestyle of eating, the longer you're on it, the more you'll be able to experiment and you know, get just enjoy it, right? And you're always going to get great results. You're always going to be healthier. I love it. Right. I love learning. The learning, baby. We're here to learn.
Yeah, I like what you just said, and I hope your listeners heard that. and that whenever you do a diet because you're trying to go and lose some weight versus the lifestyle, the learning, the way that you approach learning is really different. That's a really key takeaway there, because you are so focused on trying to get that outcome, the end result of losing those 10 pounds for the beach or whatnot, whatever you're trying to do, that you're not in tune with how your body's changing and what's causing those changes. You're just looking at, you know, but you're just focused on like the scale,
right?
As opposed to when you look at it from a lifestyle standpoint, you're really taking time to experiment with the food and you're, how does the food taste? How does the texture of it? I wonder if this is good. You know what? I didn't feel as bloated today, or I felt pretty bloated today. I wonder why that is. You're much more in tune with how that food, the individual items, are making you feel.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. Love it. One more commandment. One more.
You know what? Why don't you open up the, you know, and we'll play a roulette.
All right. I like it. Let's get to the commandments here. Okay, be budget friendly and practical.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I love this.
Yeah, this, I don't know why I didn't say this one first, but this is such a easy and obvious one. Sometimes y'all will go and be like, I'm gonna eat healthy, and you go to Whole Paycheck, Whole Foods or something, and you spend all your money and you'd be like, yo, eating healthy is too expensive. Well, nobody asked you to buy organic, first off.
Exactly.
Nobody asked you to buy all these other things, and those things doesn't make you those things don't make you healthier either. So I put this commandment in there because sometimes we ignore the obvious, and the obvious is that not only does it have to taste good for us, you can actually eat it because you want to be able to enjoy it, but you also have to be able to afford it. Mm. What's the purpose of having a healthy meal plan if you cannot afford it? Like, it happens so much. You're like, I don't have money for all this. You don't have to. And I am very passionate about this topic, to the point where, like, you don't see me talking a lot about like organic produce and stuff. And here's the reason why. When I started out, I was still very much, you know, struggling financially, trying to make things work. Part of the book talks about how I was on food stamps at one point, and I was learning how to stretch that over at Sam's Club and Costco to get the things in bulk. Mm. But one of my go-to spots where I got all of my food was Walmart. I shopped at Walmart for years and still do. I've moved, so it's not as close to my house anymore, but Walmart Market, that was my spot. I would go there after church, I'd go there 3 times a week at least, and I would buy all this stuff, and I never once got organic produce. But here's what happened with my body. I was still changing, I was still feeling good, I was feeling healthier, and I was enjoying it. And I would maybe go to like a Sprouts or a Whole Foods or some other grocery store just to see what they had and be like, oh, you know what? I had no idea they had purple cauliflower. I think I'm just going to buy this one as my treat for this week and try it out. But I'm not going to grocery shop here. I know. I'm going to buy this one head of cauliflower and leave, because I had no idea that it could even be purple, right? So that's the way that you've got to approach it. You've got to be able to have a diet that you can maintain financially. And then you've also just got to have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of hustle in you to be like, yo, how can I make this a little bit better? Let me go ahead and go over here to this other grocery store. They got a whole bunch of foods. Mm. See, one thing too that people should know about, and this is something that I just did, and this is not a plug for them, but I was just very intrigued by it, was Amazon Fresh. Mm. So I'm very particular about people picking out my produce for me and everything else. But I did this video recently, $75 meal prep. I did it via Amazon Fresh, where I shopped all the ingredients online and they dropped it off at the house. Not only was it convenient, but the produce was really good, and it was competitively priced to like a Kroger. In fact, my grocery bill came out to be a little bit lower.
Wow.
So
that's huge.
I know, and I don't want to give Amazon any more of my money. Yeah. I don't have anyone's money at the moment, but I'm just saying that, like, it's be open to other ways to get your food.
Mm. I love that. Once again, because when you tell people they have to eat organic or they have to shop here, that gives people an out, right? Everyone's, whenever it comes to nutrition, everyone wants an out. Like, it's like, oh, I can't do that. It's too complicated. Okay, well, just choose your go-to foods that you like. I can't do that. I gotta eat, you know, organic. It's too expensive. No. Just like Kevin said, you go and, you know, go to Walmart. We always shopped at Walmart for years. And just like you, you know, we'll go to Organic Garage or Whole Foods once in a while just to get, you know, a couple of small things that that you know, that we need. But yeah, man, when you put the budget, like when you put the pricing of nutrition in the forefront, you got to eat organic, you got to eat this, that always gives people an out. Oh, I can't do this. It's too much for me. I can't afford it. But you can afford it. You don't have to eat organic. You don't have to, you know.
Yeah, and this kind of comes into the politics of health and wellness too, that like, which is also why I'm really passionate about it, not to be too political, but I feel like that's why there's been an absence of perhaps people of color and even poor people in general and like the health and wellness discussions, just because everyone that's, when I was coming out, you know, coming up, they were talking about all this organic stuff and you got to buy this and that and this, not realizing that like people can't afford that.
Yeah.
So I've got that. So people criticize me that, you know, too, being like, oh, you find this stuff that's so hard to get. What they don't know and what they, that people don't read the captions. All the stuff that I get is from Kroger and Walmart.
Right.
You know, if I get something from Whole Foods, just because I'm going to, you know, say it, but people can't afford it. And so right. I really want people to know that you don't, please don't believe that hype. Yeah. If you're trying to reduce the amount of pesticides, or whatever in your diet, you know, and you, there are reasons that people would go and do that. I'm not saying that that's a requirement for you to be healthy.
I agree.
I can invite you to a stage and we can debate that.
I agree 100%, man. I agree 100%. Once you start changing the foods, that's going to be the big key. It's not the organic versus non-organic. It's the actual, you know, fried foods versus, you know, fresh foods, whole foods. You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference, man.
I laugh because I got into a little bit of debate with my vegan friend. He's so awesome. He's a really big like personality within the vegan community. And he was talking about, what was that Netflix movie? Not The Game Changers, but What the Health.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
He was talking about like, oh, these people, they changed their lives because, you know, they went vegan. And I'm not vegan, but I definitely highly recommend people to be a lot more plant dominant. But I don't think it's necessary for you to be vegan, but you don't have to eat meat every single meal, y'all. Please don't do that. But I was telling him, I was like, those are awful cases, because he's like, why? It shows that veganism works. And I was like, when was the last time those people actually ate a salad or ate any vegetable? Because that's gonna be funny. I just didn't get the impression they were eating too many vegetables to begin with. So yeah, if you're eating vegetables now, of course it's gonna be mad.
Exactly.
So the same thing with like organic versus inorganic. Just like you could just eat better.
Yeah.
see a big difference. And what if we just had proper balance and much more moderation and portion control from the get-go? How would our health look like down the road if we just had a better relationship with food? That's all.
Love it. Love it. Last one, make the process fun and enjoyable. People always, you know, relate meal prepping to be too much work, boring, and not enjoyable. So how do we make it enjoyable? How do we make it fun?
You can incorporate other people. You can incorporate your partner, your spouse, you know, wifey, get her in there and cook stuff, get the kids involved with it. For me, I would put on my headphones, like my gym workout playlist, and I'd put that on in my head, and I would just be jamming out in the kitchen, just pumping out the food, and I got like energy from it. And that was enjoyable for me.
Yeah, for sure. I do the same thing.
Always, you can do that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, same thing. You know, put music on or something that just makes you feel good. Something that puts you in the feel good, you know, state of mind, and it makes things much easier, right?
I put on my Netflix shows too at time and just binge and laugh and watch that. Put on the game. So there are some of the things that you could do, but just make it enjoyable so that way you approach it better.
Right. What's one pitfall that men over 40 should look for when starting a nutrition plan? Is there something that, you know, we may have already touched on it, but is there something that, you know, if you're going to say, listen, let me just warn you before you go buck wild.
Yeah. I would say trying to boil the ocean, you know, or like on day one. And what I mean by that is like you try to do that overhaul like on day one. And especially for men over 40, I'm getting there too. And what you've got to realize that where you are now is years of behavior and decisions. And so there's got to be like an unlearning and a new type of learning and new memories that you're going to create with food at this point. So that's not going to happen overnight. And you're not going to just change something overnight either, like your whole temperament. So don't try to boil the ocean in one setting. You're going to boil maybe this little pocket of it over here, and we're going to warm up the ocean over time. Think about your diet in that same way. Or similarly, you know, I'm training for this marathon.
Okay.
And it's a good analogy in that, like, my first race is not going to be in the marathon. My first race, my first run has been these jogs around downtown, and then it's a 5K, and then it's a 10K, and then it's a half marathon, and then it's a marathon. But what we do really in our diets is we go right to marathon. We do that all the time. Yeah. And then we wonder why a month from now or 2 weeks from now, we feel burned out and we're just not happy. We feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So run with that.
Yeah. Love it. Couple other things before we go. Pantry. So if I'm a guy and I'm like, okay, Kevin, I love what you're doing. I'm going to get your book. I'm going to get your seasonings, which I'm loving as well. I'm using the seasonings. Love it. The everyday seasonings is the one I use the most.
Oh, sweet. Thank you.
Put it on everything. I actually put that on everything. Like, I'm putting it on there. Guys, you got to get the seasoning. What are some of the tools that every man should have in their pantry, like in the kitchen when it comes to cooking? Like, what are, you know, a few things that we should have so that when we start cooking, we've got what we need?
Yeah, you want to get yourself a sharp knife, a really sharp knife. People don't generally have those inside the house. It helps you to understand how to slice your food as opposed to like mashing it up. Huge difference in the quality that comes out, cutting up protein vegetables. Mm. A cutting board, I like to use the cutting sheets because you can use separate ones just to keep the cooking area clean, and swapping them out for meat and veggies and things like that. And then a food scale. And I say that food scale and like measuring cups and measuring spoons and things, because I don't think for the long haul anyone should be like trying to measure out their food. But if you're first starting out, what I think you should be working on is just being a lot more competent in the portions and what the caloric value of food is. Mm. So it's so that way you could be like, oh, that's one cup of something? Didn't know that. Like for me, I love some peanut butter. I love some almond butter. And when I started to weigh my almond butter, I was like literally crying, being like, how am I gonna survive? Because my one scoop of almond butter is like four servings almost. And I was like, well, it's healthy though, but it's also the most calorie dense food out there.
And
even healthy food in the wrong portions is actually not good for you.
Exactly.
So you wanna use those tools when you're first starting out so that you can become a lot more competent. So that way, again, one day you're going to wake up and you're not going to be weighing your food. And you're going to realize that, be like, oh, I haven't weighed my food, but I know this is two cups. I know this is one cup over here. I know this is that right there. Plus, if you're following a recipe and you're trying to cook, you need to know how to put the stuff in there and measure it out.
Right.
And then, you know, the last thing that I'll just touch on here, because the book actually has a list of pantry items and it also has some pantry essentials like foods. What's not in the book is what I'll talk about right now is don't put things in your pantry that are your triggers. Mm. So for me, oftentimes, like, I can snack all day. I can snack and eat sweets all day. So I tend not to keep sweet things in my pantry. Mm. Things that are going to, you know, get me going down this binge. And then if I want something sweet, I'll just go ahead and plan for that and go and get something sweet. But I'm not going to create an environment for myself to go back to that because I don't have that type of self-control. And I've tried several times over. So please don't write me after this podcast talk about what you're replacing with advice. Do you?
Yeah.
And I'm going to do me.
Right.
For me. What I've done is not put those things that are unhelpful for my diet and for, you know, inside of my pantry. So I would just admonish you and caution you just to think about those things as you are building out your healthy grocery list and stocking up your pantry with wholesome things. Everything in my house right now has to be cooked. Now that's difficult if you have a family, you've got kids, right? So I would maybe encourage you to maybe get a lot more frozen things. But I don't keep all those chips and things like that in my pantry just because I know myself. I'll keep rice cakes and other kind of things. The cinnamon kind, maybe, want to do that. But there's nothing wrong with having those treats. If I want those treats, I just go and get them. Right. And you can do the same thing. Just go and buy it.
Yeah.
But when you have it inside your house, it's a different relationship that you have.
Yeah. And it'll just sabotage your whole nutrition plan because you'll start, depending on how you're feeling, you know, there's a correlation, right? It's like, depending on how you're feeling or what happened that day, it's that just boom, 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 boom.
Who said
boom,
what
boom.
To you?
Exactly.
Instead of screaming, or the kids did this, are you going to call at work? Or this, depending on what happens, we therapize. It's really easy. And I do that. I want you all to know, I do that today as a founder of Fit Men Cook after all years. I still do that. That's why I'm telling you, I'm not trying to sell you on something. I'm telling you what I have to do.
Exactly. Yeah, me too, man. Me too. I don't have any of that stuff. We don't. My wife and I don't have it. And because it's easy. It's so easy to just start. You have one, you have two. It tastes so good. It's salty. Oh, it's got this on it. Oh, God. Next thing you know, what happened? It's all gone.
And I'll start back tomorrow, I guess. That's what you do. And then it's like, you know, and then depending on what happens that day, it's just like, there you go again.
Yeah. Your Thailand trip, just to end off, as we talked about before, Thailand is, I mean, we go every single year. I train, I train Muay Thai. I'm training fighters. I do a lot of seminars there. It's our home away from home. Definitely when I retire, that's where I'm retiring to, Phuket or Chiang Mai. What took you there and why did you go there and how was that experience?
Oh, it was the most beautiful experience ever. It was through the government, through the, I think it was the
tourist.
The economy. I'm fudging my words right now, but the economy board or something.
Yeah.
And what it was an interesting trip because they were talking about rice and how rice is just basically a huge fuel for the economy.
Right.
And I got to see that through the lens of food, but also through other things. So like rice is used for everything in there, you know, over there. So of course for food, they have thousands of different types of rice, like the way that they kind of, you know, like can like manipulate it, but also it's used in soap. It's used in cleaning products. It's used in skin products. It's used in lotion. It's used in tissues. So they're able to take something, this food that's very plentiful and incorporate it into other things to really get the economy moving. So it was a great thing to go and see and appreciate. And of course, I mean, the food is, you just can't beat it over there. So you just got to eat everything.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I feel so, it, you know, it's funny because I am much, I eat everything, right? I try not to go on special diets because stuff like this happens often. People want me to come and eat something. And the last thing they need to hear is, well, you know, I'm on keto. Y'all got any keto rice?
Yeah.
No, fool. All the way across the world, you better eat this rice.
Exactly.
But I remember at one point I was like, hey, can I get like a vegetable curry at the restaurant? And they were like, well, it's going to take much longer for us to go and put that out, but we can do it if you really want to. And I was just asking, cause I just like, I haven't had a vegetable in like 5, 6, 7 days, y'all.
Yeah.
I just had pork and rice the whole time.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, it was good, but I just needed something else. So I just thought that was really funny. And they're like, yeah, but rice and pork is what we're doing.
That's a specialty here.
Yeah, it's like, I guess we could do some vegetable curry, but
yeah, it'll take a little bit longer, but we'll put it for you. Yeah, it's amazing. You know what? Thank you so much, you know, for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it. A lot of great information. If you guys are listening or watching Fit Men Cook, where can we find you? And where can we get your books and your seasoning as well?
Yeah, you can find me at Fit Men Cook on any social platform. I'm on Instagram daily serving, you know, putting out content and also all my stories. And then, you know, YouTube is a cooking channel. And then they can find the book on Amazon. You can just go, you can type in Fit Men Cook and it's going to come up. But Amazon.com/Fit Men Cook is where you can also get these spices.
Yes.
If you're outside of the U.S., then just go to thefitcook.com.
Yeah.
But just, if you just type it, just go to Amazon. Again, Amazon has all of our money and our socials. Just type in Fit Men Cook, and you'll see both the book and also the spices.
Yeah.
The spices are called The Fit Cook because we wanted to take the gender out of it so everyone can see themselves in it. So that's the only difference there.
Cool. Yeah, I live in Canada. I live in Toronto, so I was able to get these. They came.
Oh, you were.
Yeah. I'm in Toronto, man.
Oh, good. Where'd you order from?
I ordered from your website, actually.
Okay.
I ordered from a link in your website, and then it took me somewhere, and I just international. And
awesome. Well, thank you for doing that. We're actually trying to experiment. Canada has been on our radar for quite some time. And I didn't realize, because the largest country outside of the U.S. that follows, that has a good following, is Mexico. And then we've got a huge Brit following and European following. But Canada is just huge, and we haven't really done anything. So we've been thinking about trying to do like a Canada tour.
Come to Toronto, man.
I would love it. In fact, here's an interesting fact. After grad school, I don't like the cold at all. I do not like the cold, period. But after grad school, I was looking at places to go and live if I was gonna, you know, like if I didn't have to go home.
Yeah.
And Montreal was top three.
Montreal's good.
I just loved the culture. I loved the vibe of Canada. So maybe one day.
Yeah, come. Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. Those are the big three. You know, Halifax out west, you know, or out east, you go, you do the full spectrum. Yeah. I'm telling you, it'll be amazing.
That would be dope.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, guys. Again, thank you, Kevin. Fitmen Cook, get him on. First of all, go to his Instagram page. Start there, because that's going to hook you. That's going to grab you. You're going to just be literally scrolling, and then get to the website and YouTube channel as well, and learn how to cook. Get the book, learn to cook. You can do it. And thanks so much for being on the podcast, brother.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, it's Funk Roberts here, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of my Over 40 Alpha podcast. Now, before you go, I've got a special gift that I want to give you, and one thing I need to ask you as a member of our podcast family. First, if you haven't already, please claim your free 30-day trial at over40alpha.com. This is a 30-day trial into our Over 40 fitness program that has workouts, nutrition, mindset training, recovery training, everything you need to help you lose weight, to help you burn belly fat, to help you increase your muscle, and of course, naturally increase your testosterone levels and get you into the best shape of your life. So please go to over40alpha.com and join the thousands of men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, getting incredible results on a daily basis. And next, as a member of our Over 40 Alpha podcast family, please, if you know anyone, another guy in their 40s, 50s, 60s who can benefit from listening to this podcast, share it with them. And if you can, please leave a review. It really helps us with the podcast. Thank you so much again. Get it done, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.